administration, go to constitutionminute.com.
The man shot and wounded by officers at the U.S. Capitol's Visitor Center is recovering in a Washington, D.C. hospital. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Capitol Police identify Larry Dawson of Tennessee as the suspect, and they say he's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon and assault on a police officer while armed. Dawson was shot after he points what appeared to be a weapon at officers. He's in a hospital. He'll be in court once he's released. No officers were hurt in the incident, but a female bystander suffered a minor injury. Reports are Dawson is the same man who interrupted a House session last fall, yelling from the gallery that he was a prophet of God. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
In financial news, Americans seem to be feeling a little better about the economy. According to the Conference Board, the Consumer Confidence Index rose more than expected in March to 96.2. Analysts had expected a number around 94. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
It's going down as a win for labor unions as the U.S. Supreme Court has split on a case regarding union fees. The High Court's 4-4 vote affirms a lower court ruling that allows California to force non-union public employees to pay union fees. If the Supreme Court had the vote of late conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, it would have likely overturned an appeals court ruling. The co-pilot of an American Airlines flight that had to be canceled Saturday is facing charges of being under the influence of alcohol. John McGuire was charged by the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office yesterday in Detroit, Michigan. He was detained at the airport and later released, according to authorities there. 7-Eleven is merging a popular breakfast staple with its popular iced drink, introducing the Wild Cherry Slurpee Donut. The bright pink cake donut is topped with wild cherry-flavored icing and sparkling sugar crystals. The fast food blog Brand Eating says the combination gives the Slurpee donut a, quote, ice-like crunch. And finally, actress Patty Duke has died. Her agent says Duke died today at the age of 69. She burst onto the scene at the age of 16, winning the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her portrayal of Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker. Breaking news at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News. I'm Audrey Strong.
Hi, it's Joe Peters here from Weikert Realtors. I'm sitting with Jeannie Aversa. Am I saying your name right? Mm-hmm. Aversa. And Jeannie's with Ameriprise, Heidi Patton and Associates. And we're going to talk a little about investment strategies as you get into your past 55. This is the 55 plus show, not the Real Estate Matters show. I do two shows. One is on the first and third Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and the second one is on the second and fourth. So the several ones on the second and fourth. And in this month, we happen to have a fifth Tuesday. So that's what today is all about. So we're going to be back to you in a couple of seconds. Let me tell you what's happening weather-wise. So if you haven't stuck your head out, it's a beautiful day. The winds have subsided a little bit. Looks like it's just about 58 degrees right now, although it says it feels like 45. But we're going to have a little bit of rain on Thursday. Nice day. Oh, that's tomorrow's weather. So it's 45 today. It's going to be 58 tomorrow. Nice day tomorrow. 69 on Wednesday with some rain. 64 on Thursday with some rain. And on Friday, 64 again. And on Saturday, it's going to clear up, be in the mid-50s. Very seasonable. So we've got a nice week coming up. It doesn't look like we've got any more snow on the forecast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got to tell you, I always like to sort of highlight the program of something I observed on the way down. That flag in front of the Subaru dealer is magnificent. I mean, I'm coming down 31 past the hospital, and I'm looking at that flag, and I'm saying, I'm going to hit the guy in front of me. It just catches the wind just beautifully. It's nice to watch the American flag. So let me play a couple of commercials from our paid sponsors, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes and get started. Once again, Joe Peters with 55 Plus.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hey, it's Joe Peters again, and once again, I've got Jeannie Aversa with me. Say hello, Jeannie.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Hey, great. You're coming through loud and clear.
Excellent.
So we're going to talk today a little about financial strategies. I mean, if you take a look at the sort of logo I've made for my show, it says, if you got 55 in your rearview mirror and you're pulling up on 65, this is a show for you. So I thought we'd first of all talk about Jeannie's background so you understand who's talking to you today. My name is Joe Peters, by the way. I'm with Weichert, and I'm not selling real estate today. I'm trying to help the generation that I'm in the middle, the 55-plus generation, better understand some of the things that others of us have gone through or sort of help people with advice on as you get into that thing. So I thought we'd go through her background and what her company does, and then get into what we should be thinking about when you're 55 to 60, 60 to 65, and on down the road. Naturally, the further you get down the road, the more set and cement things get. But I know Marilyn, for instance, my better half works for the Rutgers school system, and she's all invested in TIAA-CREF, and we're starting to uninvest some of the money. You know, she's getting towards retirement, and our thinking is, God, I wish I had done this, that we're almost down to 50% in 3% money now. That's just our strategy. And then when we talk to people at TIAA-CREF, they're saying, you may not want to do that because it always bounces back. And I'm saying, I don't know, it sure felt good last month, you know, when everything went down. So those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about. Jeannie, tell us a little about your background to start with. I know you and I both started at Weichert, and you left and became what you are today.
Right, right. So I actually have 12 years of previous mortgage experience.
Okay.
So I was a loan officer at Weichert.
Wow.
And helped people financially in a usually a younger age than, I mean, yes, people do, you know, sell and downsize, but there's also a huge population of younger people who are looking to buy their first house.
Right.
So I helped people financially just determine, you know, are they ready? Have they saved enough? Should they borrow from their 401k? Some people were investment, you know, buying investment properties.
Okay.
and trying to evaluate, you know, should I, is it worth it? And you know, how much
yep.
money will I break even, or will I be losing money, or can I actually make money on an investment property? So I used to help people that way. And then 2 years ago, I joined Joe Patton and Michelle Heide, Patton and Heide and Associates, and it's an Ameriprise company.
Okay.
I always wanted to be a financial advisor. So I just kind of spanned my financial advice from home purchase to everything else.
How did you bridge from one to the other?
Well, I mean, I am a finance major.
Okay.
So I have a finance degree from the College of New Jersey.
Yay.
So I have that background.
Okay.
You know, I took like investment classes and things like that. And I was actually an adult student. So I graduated in 2002. It wasn't like I was a kid when I graduated.
Right.
And I was always interested in that and just needed the right fit. So I've known Joe and Michelle for years and years.
Yep.
Mortgage, you know, we're all interconnected. You know, the
okay.
you know, real estate, realtors and CPAs and financial advisors and mortgage people. And it was just a good fit to make that move. So I did have to get my licenses. You know, I had to do some studying, Series 7, Series 66.
So you do have the Series 7.
I do.
So
I do.
So you can buy and sell stocks.
I could. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then in addition, I have my CRPC because my interest – so I guess your interest is – potentially who you are or where what life part you're in or
right.
people you know. So like helping people and giving people mortgage advice was valuable to me at that time.
Yep.
But now that I'm getting older, my husband's thinking about retiring in a year. And you know, now I'd like helping people plan for retirement.
Right.
So as you mentioned, the 55 to 65 is like my perfect category of people I want to help. And I think something changes. I think at 50... I think in the 40, you know, 30s, 40s, you're invincible.
Yep.
You have plenty
yep.
of time, you know, and really it's this mindset of I'm like, do I really need to think about this retirement
right.
thing? It's so far away. When you hit 50, all of a sudden you start seeing people retire.
Yep.
Now, sadly, there's other things. You start
yeah.
seeing people develop well, illnesses, people
and
die,
yes, right.
and all of a sudden life seems shorter than it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I think 50 is that age that people actually start panicking about, I have not done enough
right.
to save for retirement. And you start looking at what you have and thinking, okay, how many years do I really want to work? Like, you're not
yeah.
seeing yourself working for 30, 40 more years.
Right.
You're seeing yourself like, I don't know, 10, 15?
Yeah.
Do I have to work 20 more years?
Right. And then on the other side of that, who we had on last time mentioned something like we used to figure we're going to be retired for 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more like 30 to 40.
It definitely
so
is.
So it's a longer period of time that
yes.
you're planning for.
Yes, exactly right.
So a whole different dynamic comes in there.
Yes.
So how long, you mentioned these certifications that you've got. How much education and time does it take to get those? I know some of them are pretty difficult.
They're very difficult, yeah. So you get some intense books on, you know, intense financial information. You have to absorb it and understand it and be
right.
able to utilize that to pass those tests. So I have to say at my age, I'm not saying what that is exactly,
okay.
but when I tell you I have kids in their later 20s.
I have grandchildren in their 20s. So you're doing good.
I was a little bit nervous about would I be able to maintain, you know, retain that type of information, would I be able to
right.
test? Because even those tests, have you ever taken, well, I think for your real estate license, didn't
real
you have to go
license.
Into the
right.
those
went,
testing facilities?
Yeah, like
they pad you down. They won't even let you bring a if you have a cold, they don't let you bring a tissue into
yep.
the room.
Yep.
And so when you go in and you have the timer, you know, it's ticking
right.
away with how
right.
much time you have left. And of course, some of the questions are just like, oh my God, I don't even understand what the question is, much less how to, you know, potentially answer it.
Yep.
So really scary stuff. So luckily, I still have it.
Yep.
I passed my test the first time around, so that gave me confidence to keep going. And then the CRPC is actually 12 books. 12 different modules of all kinds of things that affect retirement. And that, too, was intense because of the volume of information. Like, it's okay if you test it on one book at a time or a couple books at a time, but to do, you have to know it well enough to pass on all 12. So, again, pass that first time around, too. So
do you have to re-up it every couple of years?
There's continuing education requirements, which is good. You know, for our industry, we should be up on new, you know, on changes and make sure we're educated.
So you've got the background of dealing with people from Weichert. You've got the education. You've got the company. I mean, I've heard Joe and Michelle talk, and I'm involved in the, you were last year in the Leadership Huntington program, and you came in and talked to us last, probably about a month ago, and it blew me away, some of the things they were talking about that an average person wouldn't even think about, which is all part of your strategy.
Exactly, exactly.
And I said, wow, there's another whole world out there that most people don't get into.
Well, and that's the thing that I see now that I try to share that information with everybody I have access to, is that you only think about what's in front of you or what's relevant to you at that time.
Right.
So we see people all the time, like we just mentioned, widows and widowers coming in. We see people, you know, who luckily they got disability insurance and now came up with this disease that they can no longer work. And it always seems like it's you're too young for that. Like, you know, and there's no age for disability, right?
Right.
So to see it and to or see people make mistakes and then not be able to recover or live worse, you know, in their later years because they didn't plan or protect themselves. If you see it, you want to share it with everybody. You want to tell everybody, don't, you know, don't do this or be careful of this.
Right.
But in a normal life, you know, people just live their life. They go to, you know, to work, they have their families to go to, and you kind you can ignore the whole like planning and the retirement thing and just live your life until
it happens.
Something happens or you age and suddenly that you'll, you know, I actually this morning we had the show with Joe and I said, I think planning for retirement is kind of like college planning.
Yep.
You know, you have kids, you know, they want to go to college and you kind of know how much you want to help them or potentially, you know, optimistically want to pay for their college. And then all of a sudden they're a junior in high school and you're like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
And I haven't done, like, I've only have $2,000 saved. Do you know what college tuition is like, right? So it's that, oh my goodness, that moment of, wow, I better start doing something now. Well, I think 50, 55 is kind of that age where, yes, you should have been doing it from the time you graduated college, but now it's like catch up, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because that's, I just recalled who we had on last show. It was Mike Lawless, and we talked about Medicare planning and all the things that are available to you.
Yeah.
And he was the one that said, you know, not only do you have retirement staring you in the face, it's much longer than it used to be. And are you prepared? And he went through some of the things that you just mentioned. So your company is a franchise, but each franchisee, I guess is the right term, runs their company a little bit more uniquely than others. How does yours differ than other Ameriprise franchisees?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Joe and Michelle are just very conscientious on helping the community. They are very involved in the community.
Right.
They do a lot of outreach. They do a lot of, like, volunteer work. Definitely involved with this chamber, the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
And just try to get out there, get the message out to local businesses. And if you've heard Joe talk, you know, he's always talking about credentials and doing the right thing for the client. You know, it's not about, you know, trying to get a client just to get somebody to make income, get revenue from them, because there's a lot of clients that it doesn't make it's just helping them at this point and then hoping that someday they will be good clients. But a lot of times it's not even a fit because they're not ready, you know?
Right.
So it's all about education. It's about doing the right thing. And that comes back to you. You know, I think you get a reputation. I think people realize that you're credible. And so I had a couple educational seminars in the fall. You came to one of them.
Right, I came to the Social Security one.
Yeah, yeah. So again, just trying to outreach and, you know, hope to meet people and have, you know, be able to have people come in the office and, you know, help those that need help. But maybe also educate people that they should be doing more than nothing and don't, you know, so they don't panic later. Like, you're trying to eliminate that potential of them not being prepared and stuff happens, you know, and then later they, you know, for whatever reason.
It's a good analogy to what I do in real estate, too. And I'm not trying to sell real estate on this show, but I try to meet people a year out. And, you know, to them, that's a long time when you're going to buy or sell a house. But you've got to start thinking about things. You're trying to meet people maybe 4 or 5 years out from retirement so that they start lining things up and understand what is and isn't available to them.
Right, exactly.
Is there a perfect time to get involved, or is there more of a...
You know, the thing is, the earlier the better.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I know from the seminars, I heard a lot of positive feedback of things that I addressed that people said, I never even thought of it, but it all makes sense. I should have been thinking of this, or I'm so glad you pointed that out to me. And there was a lot of motivation for action to do something different, or, you know, get set up in some way.
Because even with the Social Security, it was eye-opening what you can do. And I didn't do it, but I did, with Jeannie's organization, but I did do a Social Security show about 2 months ago, which is on my site, and it talks about some of the things that are available. One of those loopholes, I guess, is closed already. But it's amazing how I'll just give an example, and then if you have an interest, you can go listen to my show or call Jeannie and talk about it further. But if you're a woman and 62 years old, and you were previously married and were married for 10 years, and you're not married now, you can start taking half of your ex's Social Security. Most people don't realize that. And that's a windfall in a lot of situations. And a loophole is if he was married three times for 10 years each and are all now divorced and not remarried, all three of them could be – so it goes on and on and on. There's a lot that, as you say, you don't know that you don't know.
Right, right. And even with collection of Social Security, there's a lot of people that continue working past 62 and for some reason feel like, well, maybe I should just start collecting now just because I can.
Right.
But the increase that you get just by holding off, 8%. Now, let me tell you, try to find a guaranteed 8% return safe money out there. And tell me where that is, because I'd like to know. But really, 8%. So, and that's yours. You earn that. So every year you wait. So if you wait till, well, up to 70, doesn't pay to wait till past 70.
Right.
But, you know, at 70, you can get a lot
they
more money.
Saying that the difference between 65 and 70 is almost double in some, or at least 62 and 70. Because a lot of people, the fellow that was at yours said, that, you know, people say, well, it's mine, I want it, starting at 62.
Yeah.
So at 62, you get a reduced amount, and it's now not
reduced forever.
Forever.
Never goes, it doesn't go up to normal when you reach that age. It's reduced forever.
And that 8% doesn't happen versus wait until at least 65. I guess it's 66 for everybody at this point. And then even to 70, and 72, it's sort of mandatory that at 70 you got to start taking it. But now at 70, instead of getting half, you're getting whole.
And
you didn't really need it along the way.
So. And should you live into your 90s, which there's a good chance you will, that's a long time that you'll be collecting it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we were just talking about your mom, bless her soul. She's 86?
My mom?
Yeah.
85.
Still driving a car.
Yeah.
She just came back from visiting her. And my dad... went to his last 4 or 5 years weren't great, but he lived to 86. And back then, that was 20 years ago, that was a good long life. Now, it's into the 90s is almost expected. So there's a lot of time there.
Absolutely.
And the quality of life is getting better and better and better.
Right.
So it's not like the last 4 or 5 years are going to be invalid years. They're going to be more like, okay, maybe a little diminished capacity. But, I mean, God bless her, 85 driving a car.
Exactly. Hopefully she keeps doing that.
So I guess it looks like the number one thing on your questionnaire says, can I keep my lifestyle after retirement? Talk a little about that.
So it's a big deal because like what we just said.
Yeah.
Actually, the average age of people who want to retire or who want to retire or who can, you know, is between 62 and 64. So it's not even at full Social Security age yet. So what does that person look like now? It's not somebody old in a wheelchair who just wants to sit home and watch soap operas all day.
Right.
That's an active person.
Yeah.
So there's that active person who can live well into their 90s. So we're talking about 30, 35 years of retirement. Well, once they stop working, they're living off of whatever they've earned.
Right.
So that could be Social Security, if anybody's still lucky enough to get a pension.
Yep.
And it's whatever that nest egg is, whatever that portfolio balance is. But then you're starting to deplete it. You're withdrawing. Right. You're not putting in anymore. You're taking out. So what does your lifestyle look like in retirement? And those younger people, you know, in their 60s, what do they want to do? They want to travel. They want to play golf. They want to have fun. They want to spend money. So the fear factor is spending money too quickly.
Yep.
And again, in the perfect world, if we had that crystal ball and we knew the date of death, we could plan perfectly to that date.
Right.
You'd know what to do. But since we don't know, what if it is 99?
Yep.
So what's your, you know, how much money do you have? So that's a big question we have. And we do an analysis to say, this is how it looks. This is what you're going to have. This is how you want. And we ask questions, you know, and that's a big part of it, is getting to know you and asking questions.
And the fact that you've done it hundreds of times with hundreds of people, and this person that's coming in to talk to you is doing the first time for them, makes it a lot easier because
you've
got that experience.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, and so it could be a really eye-opening experience both ways. One, oh my gosh, no, I'm not ready. I haven't done nearly enough. I have to save more.
Right.
Then there's also the possibility of working in retirement, doing something. All I'm saying is just adding some inflow of money, which again, the thing about retirement, It seems like it's always like a fun, I've reached that goal, I can retire. But guess what? Most people get depressed.
Right.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of hours in the day to fill.
I know Marilyn's brother retired early, before I even knew him, and he's a little older than she is. And he wanted to fish. So he wanted to fish. But you know what? I love to fish too. But if I had to fish every day, it's more of a chore than a pastime.
Yeah, there's something that you lose. It's fun when you work and you can fish that day. But if you're just every day, let me get ready to go fishing again.
So now he's been retired about 20 years. He doesn't fish at all. He's given his fishing tackle away. But he's gotten involved in other things.
Okay.
When he went down, he lives in Ocean City, went and listened to his poetry group and whatever. I'm not sure it was for me, but we went. You know, we supported him. And he's found other outlets for his time. But I find that a lot of people, and we're going to do a show dedicated to employment after retirement later in the year. But I find a lot of people sort of get there before they expect to get there, like the company downsized and they were only 58 and they weren't ready. I mean, these are big issues. So
That's a huge issue. So that we get a lot of too, because here's the person who planned to work till 65.
Yep.
Now they're 58. Company downsized, they are laid off and 1 year severance pay.
Yeah.
So they're
going to
be
lucky.
59. Guess what? What are they going to do? Like, they can't collect Social Security yet.
Yep.
They are still young enough to work, but yet it's hard to find employment to match what you had. And unfortunately, because you had it in your budget, like your plan was to make that kind of salary.
Yep.
Chances are, I mean, you can look, but I'm just saying, you know, when you start hitting that 60 age, will another company pay you at that high level?
Probably not.
And then are you going to be willing to take, say, like a college level entry, you know, just to work? And unfortunately, your pride will probably cause you not to take that job, but then maybe in retrospect, you probably maybe should have, because you would have been better off than not having the salary.
Up, right?
And so, downsizing, you never know what you're going to be laid off. And unfortunately, with you know, either mental or physical deterioration, something can happen in your 60s where you think you're going to work till, I'm just saying, some people will say, I'll work for the rest of my life, or I'm going to work till 70. Not everybody's healthy enough to work till 70. So those are the surprises that, like, in that financial plan of I'm going to work forever, didn't work.
I worked in a retail industry all my life and in New York City and you know, big companies like Allied Stores and Macy's. We knew Allied as Stearns and Gertz around here, but Macy's, everybody knew. They all became Macy's after a while after they merged together. And I knew guys that left, and they were in their 50s and whatever, and Allied got sold to another company, a venture capitalist at that point in time. And they became like librarians and school teachers and very below them kinds of jobs, and sort of drifted off into oblivion. That I know we have a reunion about every 10 years of people, and it's amazing to find out what people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that was a CFO of a company is now teaching school somewhere.
And the hard thing is, too, I think mentally it's hard to go from that really high salary and that very important, prestigious job where you feel important to, and I know like a gentleman that retired, and he just loves wines, and he thought it would be fun to work in a liquor store.
Okay.
Guess what? It wasn't all that great. Stocking shelves, you know, and getting paid, you know, probably $10, $15 an hour. And he thought, this is ridiculous. You know, the amount of money I'm getting at the end of the week to do this, and it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Right.
Left and went back to the full-time work again, you know,
good.
Even though
good
he was, you know. But it's so hard because, yeah, it's hard to take the lower salary. It's harder to take, like, the job that doesn't feel as important to you.
Right.
Also, the fact that, like, you don't want to admit it, but you might not be able to get the caliber job that you had before.
Well, and a lot of times the reason you got laid off is that industry is diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Like the printing industry is gone,
yeah.
And just about gone. And other industries are very similar. I mean, it's so sad to listen to somebody getting laid off after 28 years in an industry that's dying saying,
yep.
I'd like to find more work in this industry. No, if there was more work in the industry, you'd still be working. You've
exactly.
got to take those skills and adapt them a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. And I have been laid off a couple of times because I was in sales for the last 20 years and knew how to sort of go find a next job. As a matter of fact, I was more times than not had everyone lined up just in case.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Where
good
the
for
person
you.
Now facing after 28 years, or just picking on 28 years for some reason of retirement, probably has never done that. So they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
They think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to get my head back together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like absolutely the wrong approach.
Right.
Because those are the longer you're out, the tougher it is to get another job
right.
is what it comes down
it's
to.
It's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to have a whole session dedicated to that. Outliving my money. I mean, that's a fear.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah.
It is. And I mean, it's funny, but it's almost the opposite. Where people, I think people have a distorted view again of what they can live off of in
right.
retirement. So suddenly, I think I could live off $40,000 a year. Really? Have you tried it?
Mm.
You're staying in New Jersey,
right?
You know, are you paying these real estate taxes? And you know, so yeah, it's difficult because you probably need more in retirement, especially if you're younger and active.
If you want to do the traveling,
and then people who have a lot of money, they're the ones who fear the worst. They're the most frugal. So there's some people you have to actually say, would you spend your money? Like, have a good time. You work so hard to
wow.
save this. You know, enjoy it. But they're so afraid of
losing it.
Well,
the guy owns the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones that owns the big stadium? He was being interviewed one time, and I said, what do you fear the most? And he said, not having any of this. He says, I came from nothing. I built all of this up, and I'm always afraid I'm going to be back to nothing.
Oh, wow.
And I was saying, you know what? You just described the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't care where you were on that food chain,
mm-hmm.
the fear of not having anything or not having enough.
Right, right.
Having to live with the kids or go into a nursing facility
yeah.
that's below your standards. That's a big fear.
No, definitely. Definitely. And think about it. I mean, I don't think any of us want to be a burden on our family.
No.
You know, so the last thing I want is to be forced to have to live with one of my kids because I can't afford to live on my own or I need
right.
care. That would be horrible. You know, you're always kind of visualizing yourself helping the kids, you know,
yep.
babysitting for the grandkids or,
yep.
or having family vacations that you're treating them to, a family cruise or something. Never the opposite, you know. But that's the reality also of, you know, aging
mm-hmm.
and the likelihood of needing long-term care. So it's funny because and I don't remember the exact statistic numbers, but I've said this before where, like, for instance, homeowners insurance. Once you own your house free and clear, you don't have to have homeowners insurance.
Right.
But people do.
Yep.
The thought of not having homeowners insurance and the fear of your house burning to the ground is terrifying. Like, you
right.
wouldn't be able to sleep at night. But yet, only I think it's 3% of people ever have a total loss of a house like that.
Right.
Car insurance. Again, you are supposed to have car insurance. But still, like, the likelihood of totaling your car is 17% in your lifetime.
Huh.
Yet, long-term care, a lot of people don't have that insurance. And actually, I have it down here. I want to have the correct figure. That 70% of people who live over the age of 65 will need long-term care in their lifetime.
Mm.
So look at how much stronger the likelihood is of you needing long-term care, yet people like really don't even look into it. Don't even shop it. Don't even see what the premiums are.
Yep.
They hear that they're high. And I'm not saying it's cheap. Long-term care is not cheap. But the fact is, like you said, of quality. Because, I mean, do you want to be down to, like, the Medicare level
right.
and be in a facility that I don't know what type of care you're getting? And probably, you know, hopefully your kids are, you know, wouldn't want you there and they would end up taking you in their house. And that would,
yep.
like I said, wouldn't feel good for you anyway. I wouldn't want that. But the fact with long-term care, there are options to make it more affordable. So one, and again, 50 is kind of that age when you start thinking about long-term care.
Mike said the same thing. You should be doing that before 50.
Yes, yes. Because the thing is, once you develop a disease, you're ineligible. So you don't want to wait. Like, again, you hope to have your health,
right,
but something can happen that would cause you to be ineligible. Like, one thing is hip replacement. How many people get hip replacements? Yep. I think people are getting them younger and younger. It feels like that to me. Because
yeah,
I have friends in their 50s who have had hip or knee replacements.
It's less of an operation.
Correct.
My dad had it 30 years ago. It was major.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're back to work in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. They're walking that day.
Yeah.
And yeah. But so basically with the long-term care is you can choose. One is an elimination period, meaning you don't, like, say if it's a 90-day elimination period, the coverage doesn't take effect for 90 days.
Right.
It makes your premium cheaper. Choose the length of time, because the reality is most people don't need long-term care for 20 years. They need it more like 2 years to 5 years.
Okay.
So you can shorten the length, and then the benefit amount, like a daily amount. Now think about it. When you think about long-term or the cost of a facility, you still have Social Security coming in.
Yep.
You still have, if you have
Medicare.
A pension, have a pension coming in. So the fact is that there are some things that offset that cost.
Yep.
So if you just pick a lower amount, at least it's something to help with that cost, right? So there's ways to make it more affordable. And the younger you are and the healthier you are, the less the premium is going to be. I look at it just like with life insurance. You know, it just, I have it automatically taken out of my checking account. I don't worry. It's just a monthly bill. I don't even think about it. And I hate writing checks. That makes it more painful. Like even with my car payment, I don't write a check because if it gets automatically taken out, I know it's going to be taken out, but I don't pay attention because I need these coverages, right?
Yeah. So once again, this is Joe Peters of Weichert, and I'm interviewing, that's not such a word. Interviewing Jeannie Aversa, and Jeannie's with Ameriprise, Heidi Patton and Associates. Jeannie, if somebody wanted to call and talk to you about these things, how would they get in touch with you?
Our number at the office is 908-713-6600.
Okay.
We're located right up Route 31, at 1318 Route 31 in Annandale, closer, I guess it's south of North Hunterdon High School, right by Brems Imaging, and where Get Part and Keeper are.
Okay.
So we're in that building. And yeah, anybody can call the office, 908-713-6600, and just have a conversation with us. Come in and talk to us.
And that's the best way to get started, is just conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, oh, here's my concerns, here's where I'm at, what are you thinking? And I know when Joe addressed our group a couple of weeks back, he said, yeah, it's usually 1 or 2 1-hour conversations just to get to know each other and see if we're right for each other.
Exactly.
And he said a lot of times we said, no, it's just not a match. You know, here's somebody else I'd recommend. And
there's no cost to those conversations.
That's good.
But if you get some questions answered, or if you just find out, or if you get some advice, it's all good.
It is good.
Yep.
It is good. So, once again, 908-713-6600, and just ask for Jeannie Aversa. She'd be more than happy to help you. Let's take a look at how you spend your time once you retire. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because from my real estate background, once again, this is Joe Peters at Weichert, so I'm looking at this from a real estate background, but at the same time, I'm 72. I've been through a lot of the things that some people are just starting to come up to, but at the same time, I got a long way to go too. So these are concerns of mine as well. And I know that we see people that are, like my better half, for example. She wants to work another 3 or 4 years. By that point, she'll be 70. But she has no clue what she wants to do once she wants to retire. So she knows she wants to help older people. She grew up with an older mother. She wants to go. So I've been talking to several of the people in the 100 Helpline and Linda at the hospital to find her a match to get started so that she can maybe go Saturday mornings and get going. There's some wonderful things we do here. But at the same time, that's when she says it best. My Saturdays and Sundays are full already. It's going to be the Monday through Fridays once I retire that I'm thinking about filling up. But it's a great way to get started and get introduced to some of the programs that are out there. But this is the time when people sort of want to travel some more. I know we are spending some more time with the kids and things, volunteering. I know I talked to Bonnie at United Way, and I said, how can United Way help the people that have reached 55, 65. She says just the opposite. It's how they can help United Way. Volunteer, help us with our tax programs. There's so many things to do in Hunterdon County, helping other people that are less fortunate than you, that, you know, maybe it's not so much about earning money as much as helping people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you have a purpose in life, because that's what I mentioned about retiring and not having anything to retire to, or not plan out how you're going to spend your Monday through Friday all day long, because a hobby is a hobby. How often can you fish? How often can you play golf? And how often are you going to enjoy it? And then what about all those other hours in the day? But volunteering is, you feel useful, you feel like you help somebody. I mean, that's a huge feeling, as far as, because again, with the work, when you have a job, you feel productive, like you feel like you've made a difference in somebody's life. When you're at home all week long, you don't, or, you know, so volunteering is a great way. And I know a lot of people who have done that. So do you know John Wilzinski from Weicker in Branchburg?
Yes.
He was my manager there, and he just retired at the end of the year. And I called him and said, John, what are you going to be doing? I want to hear what your plan is. He's volunteering. So it's all volunteer, and he's just going to, and I could see he's been wanting to volunteer more.
Right.
And just didn't have the time, because as a branch manager, you have to be in the branch every day.
Yep.
But yeah, so he's definitely feeling good about his volunteer work, and that's huge.
Well, I know Linda was mentioning that Marilyn might be good at one of the nursing homes, and she actually set up an appointment for her to go talk. But when I talked to Susan, Susan Lax, she said, you know, perhaps we do this outreach to people who live in their houses around. She said, the people in a nursing home, that's a good thought. But we have like 65 people we talk to once a day just to make sure everything's okay. And they get a visit once a week. That may be a good thing to do as well. And, and Marilyn said, that does sound great.
Right?
And,
you know,
so there's lots that can be done. And Hunterdon being such a diverse county geographically.
Yes.
I mean, we have some people living in condos. We have some people living on farms.
Yeah.
And it's there's no mass transportation other than a taxi cab or
that's right
kind of thing.
There's a lot of seniors who live alone and have nobody calling them, have nobody to talk to every day. So to get that phone call, they're just so appreciative to have somebody to talk to somebody that's checking on them to make sure they're okay, or coming to visit them for 1 hour a week. I mean, I could, you know, imagine like just the joy in their face to see you coming.
Right.
They know, they get to know each other personally, you know?
And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I had actually talked to her about maybe getting into hospice. She said, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. But I have several fellow agents that work hospice all the time.
Okay.
They get a lot out of it.
Okay, right.
And unfortunately, hospice is hospice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to end in a
certain way. It has to
way.
Be right for you.
Yeah. But there's so much that can be done, and there's so much available for seniors here in Hunterdon County. But we're going to devote other shows to that. I want to keep it on track for what Jeannie can help you with most. Downsizing. When I look at the real estate opportunities for seniors, typically the real estate, what would be the chapters in the life of a real estate, of a homeowner, is the first time is that first-time buyer, where they jump out of the family or rental with a friend and buy the house on their own. Then the second is the trade-up, where they come from maybe a one- or two-bedroom up to the first single family house. And then 10 or 15 years ago is a move up again later, and they're buying a bigger house yet. And then eventually the kids are gone and it's time to sort of right size. But when you get to be 55 or 65 or somewhere in that general, we have two things that we do. Right size is one of them. And part of that is retiring in place. So you may be in the right town, but not in the right house. You want maybe one floor living instead of
there
up and down.
That's right.
Three floor living. And you may want, maybe you've got some disabilities. You may need some wheelchair assist or some special functions needed within your house. Then the other, that's one, is the living and retiring in place. The second is the assisted living. And assisted living is the start of a chain of events. And we find that probably 7% of our people go into assisted living, which to me is an amazing statistic. I would have thought it was more like 30 or 40%. That because we're living longer, because we're healthier later in life, and because a lot of times the kids can help out and go live the kids for a few years before you really need assisted living, people aren't getting to that as much as they used to. And it's a big financial drain as well.
Yes.
So it's not for everybody, and we've got some wonderful organizations in the county that will help you do the living in place, where if you need somebody for a couple of hours a day, we've got people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you need somebody around the clock, we have people that do that. So there's no real necessity to go into assisted living until you're ready to go into mm-hmm. assisted living. Mm-hmm. And once again, only somewhere between 5% and 7% of our seniors get there.
Right.
They
right.
find other ways to exist. And I yep. think that's just a wonderful end of life option. I know when my dad, we hired a, I guess I can never run for office because we hired somebody off the books to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in his home till the time was up. And I can't say that the last few years were really, really quality years, but it's what he wanted to do, mm-hmm. and we're able to work that out with mm-hmm. his assets. And I think understanding what your options are as you come into this. Let me ask you. You say a few words back on the subject of retiring in place. And
yeah, so basically the downsizing, so I do have something strong to say about this,
okay.
because one of the biggest things I see, and when we talk about like being knowledgeable and having the information and making good decisions, I know a house is very emotional. The house I raised my children in.
Right.
So you have these people who either got laid off of their job unexpectedly,
yep.
who, or maybe reach that age, you know, it happens quick, you know, all right. of a sudden you're 63, 64, 65, and now do not want to give up that family home because it's so emotionally tied to the children.
Yep.
Guess what? All the children are far, far away in different states. They're paying $30,000 a year in real estate taxes. They're paying now. They're you know older, so they don't want to do all the maintenance in the
right.
yard. So they're paying for that. When you look at what that dollar amount a year is that they are spending too much
yep.
for that big house they do not need. It's just an emotional. I understand it's emotional, but it's not going away. You can go visit. You could drive past. Yep. What is so? Usually, people wait years too long before they go to the downsize to the condo. Maybe in the same, you know,
right.
City, town, or whatever. But maybe a townhouse that now has you know maintenance, you know fees, but
yep.
yet you know it's cheaper than that big yard.
I know we had a big 4,000 square foot home, and I guess we did it 5 years ago, so I was in my mid-60s,
mm-hmm.
still working.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn, 5 or 6 years younger than I, and we felt the house owned us. We felt that we came home on a weekend and worked on a house.
Right.
We were back on Monday,
right.
we were tired. We
yep.
didn't do anything for us. And
yep.
we finally looked at it and said, look, it costs us $95 to get the grass cut, $130 for the maid to come twice every second week. We're spending $1,000 a month mm-hmm. before we even get to the mortgage.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful house, and we love the neighborhood, but
yep.
this is nuts.
Right, and what if you could sell that big house,
yep.
take the equity to buy the condo, have extra money you can invest?
Yep.
So what I'm saying is that as far as like this whole idea of doing as much as you can to prepare for those potential 30, 35 years that you have left, that's a big chunk of, I'll just say, wasted money. Like wasted money, I understand there's a reason for it,
right.
but it's emotional and there's no financial basis to it. It does not make sense that two people need to live in that big house
no.
and pay all that money. They
no.
just don't.
It didn't.
So,
and what people say to us, well, what's the biggest thing you noticed? I said, when I used to go get the mail, I had a 350-foot driveway
from
beautiful stands of trees. It was a beautiful house. But by the time I got back up the mail, I had to pull the weeds. I had to fix the gutter. The drain pipe was mm-hmm. loose. Now I just go get the mail. You know,
yes.
it's neat.
Yes.
It's neat. I don't have to worry about all of that stuff. And we got into it because I'm in real estate and I saw the prices coming down at the point in time. I felt the time is right to get out before this situation gets any worse. And mm-hmm. now the prices are bouncing back and it's okay. If we'd have stuck through it, we'd have had a house for another 5 years, but we'd have probably spent another $3,000 a month and
uh-huh.
a lot of maintenance through those years.
Yep, exactly.
So for us, it was right at the right mm-hmm. time, but I think other people have a much more emotional time.
Yeah, but also, that. You know, I think maybe by meeting with me to go through the worksheet and to
yep.
look at what are all those expenses that come along with it, and let's look at what that could mean to you over time, you know,
yep.
and saving that money and investing that money. And maybe if you see it in black and white on paper, it looks differently, and it just doesn't make so much sense anymore to keep the house.
And it's just one of the many aspects that you cover with
mm-hmm.
people to make sure that they understand the whole picture. Once again, Jeannie can be reached at 908-713-6600, Jeannie Aversa at Ameriprise, and this is Joe Peters at Weichert. If you want to talk to me, I'm at 908-238-0118, but I'm not selling real estate today. I'm just trying to give back a little to the community and mm-hmm. introduce subject matter that we feel is of interest to the 55-plus community. Medicare, we talked about that in depth on the last show. Mm-hmm. When's the right time to take it? I know for me, it was very confusing. They send you this 200-page book to read, which you fall asleep by page mm-hmm. four. Makes no sense. It's all gibberish. When's the right time? I know I asked Mike this question last week, and he said at 64 and a half, we should be talking to Medicare because something happens at 65, even though you may not retire till you're 66.
Well, the thing is with Medicare, one important facet is that people who talk about wanting to retire, say, at 62, 63,
yep.
what are you going to do about health insurance? Because you can't, just because you can collect Social Security at 62, you cannot collect Medicare at 62.
Right.
65 is the Medicare age.
Okay.
So sometimes people don't even realize that. And oh, well, you know, start shopping around to see what private insurance is to right. cover yourself for those years and see how much that costs. And now, is it really worth retiring or should you continue working maybe till 65?
Right.
So, yeah, can't get Medicare before 65.
Important.
You start getting letters. It's 3 months before your 65th birthday. And 3 months after. So it's like actually 7 months that you have this window of opportunity.
Okay.
And it always makes sense to apply for Part A because
yep.
it's free.
Yep.
Get in the system. Have them know who you are. Even if you are covered by insurance, even if you are covered by your spouse's insurance, it's worth having that. And then later you can add Part B, which is the doctor's visits.
Right.
So you can do that. You know, for those people who continue working. And then some people pay for private insurance and can't wait till their 65th birthday to be able to start because it's yep. cheaper to get Medicare.
Well, and that's an important aspect. First of all, Medicare has like Part A through F or G mm-hmm. or H or something. It takes a road guide to help yeah. you understand what all the options are available to you. And each one of them have pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. But the thing that, like Marilyn works for Rutgers, and she's saying, one of the things I get is free medical for life. And I'm saying, you really don't. You get Medicare once you turn 65, mm-hmm. and then, she's going to work beyond the 65. Once she retires, she'll be Medicare primary,
mm-hmm.
and her free insurance for life will just cover the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay.
Which, in my instance, I pay a supplemental policy. In mm-hmm. her instance, she won't have to pay it.
Right,
she has
right.
it.
Okay.
So, yeah, she does have it free for life, but she didn't realize that the first 80% is everybody goes for Medicare.
Yes.
I don't care what insurance you've got. You're going on Medicare when
right.
you turn 65
exactly.
or retire, whichever comes last.
Yep, yep. That's true.
So
yeah.
it's an important concept to get through, and it takes somebody who understands Medicare to sit down and take you through what your options are with it.
Right, right. So, yeah, when to take Social Security is a big deal, a big decision, making sure you get signed up for Medicare at the proper time. Because it's hard. I mean, as we know, paying for health insurance is very expensive.
Oh.
But you also don't want to live without it.
No.
Because I've heard horror stories of people who like let that 1 year go by. Well,
right.
nothing's happened to me all this time. I'm going to wait a year and be uninsured for a year. Bam. That's when
we
they end up in
the hospital.
We have
a friend of the family. He's a PhD, and he's actually a college professor. And he's mm-hmm. saying, well, I'm past 65, and I'm not sick yet, and I'm not taking Medicare till I need it. And I'm saying, oh, there's some reasons you don't want to not do that.
Right? Exactly.
But you know what? You're educated, and I don't have to tell you about it. I'm just going to tell you that I think maybe you want to take another
right.
look at it.
Yep.
Because I had been through that conversation with my advisor. And wow,
yeah,
it's scary.
It is scary. It is.
So let's talk about taxes a little bit. Tax consequence and tax diversification are
right.
humongous.
Right, right. So most people have their retirement nest egg in a 401k or something similar, 403b.
Right.
That's the advantage at the time when you're getting your paycheck and you file your taxes, that amount that you contributed to your 401k is not taxed. So it's really nice because you're at a lower tax bracket.
Right.
You're not paying taxes on an amount, and it's all beautiful. But when you're looking at that big dollar amount and saying, oh, I'm good for retirement, I could live off this, you're not realizing you don't get to keep all that. That has
yeah.
to be taxed when it comes out.
Yeah.
And so that's a big chunk.
Right.
You know, so depending on what tax bracket you're in, so let's just say, 30%. Let's just say like an average. So think about it. Like for every $1,000, you get to keep $700, but $300 is going back in taxes.
Wow.
So that's really not the amount you have. That's not the full amount that you get to live off of.
Okay.
So tax diversification is ways to put money aside in different vehicles that now you're going to pay taxes on it now. Like you're going to get taxed. Believe me, there's no,
yeah.
there's no free ride
right.
here. But having some money, so like a Roth. The Roth if you will not be, so it's after tax money. So right. you pay taxes on it already, put it into the Roth. When you withdraw the Roth, you don't get taxed on it. And also if you have the Roth for 5 years, you don't get taxed on the earnings.
Okay.
So let's just say you've had a Roth for, it could be 30 years. That's nice because that money is yours. That's 100% yours. Municipal bonds. So there's ways to invest in things that are not taxed on the way out. So it's nice to not have 100% of your retirement money in taxable,
And I hear a lot of people talking about 6 months and a day in Florida so that I don't have to pay taxes on my retirement.
Yeah, just be careful. Just be careful. And again, they're getting very strict. Yeah, but that seems to be a popular one.
Yeah.
So it used to be if you just had a Florida driver's license, you wanted to prove that Florida was your primary state. So you file your federal taxes in Florida. You have, you have your Florida driver's license. But now they're realizing people are, I don't want to say scamming the system, but they're up here more, and up here, I'm just saying in general, up north, out of that tax beneficial state, they really, really, they'll start looking at your bank statements, like your debit card, and seeing where your purchases are. And if you have New Jersey purchases, 9 months out of the year, guess what? You're not primarily a Florida resident.
So they have their ways of proving
it. They do, right? Think about it. It's almost scary, isn't it? Now with the computer age, I swear to God, they could find anything about you.
My son was buying cigarettes. And he was buying them using his American Express card and having it shipped in from, I don't know where, but there was some place where the taxes were a lot cheaper.
Yep, yep.
And he got a bill for $2,300 from the IRS saying that you've paid and we have the receipts because he had no choice. He had to pay it.
Wow.
So I know they're doing things to watch people who are trying to beat the system. And you've got to be very careful, and you really need some legal advice when you get into that. Because a lot of the rentals now today, real estate-wise, are the people that are on the other side of the 6 months and a day. In other words, they're living in Florida legally, say, in Florida, and they also want 6 months minus a day up here so they can be here during the summer with the kids.
Yep.
So it's eating up the rental market, and finding the right size opportunity when you're ready to look into a rental or look into a downsizing opportunity is very key for you. So, once again, we've been with Jeannie Aversa. We've got about 3 minutes to go. Jeannie can be reached.
Time is flying.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? I tell you, I always enjoy this show because, first of all, there's good people. Secondly, it's good conversation. Thirdly, I think we're helping out. And this conversation, along with all my other conversations on 55 Plus, are tape recorded and available on my site, jpeters.com. And there's a 55 Plus page, and on it is a tab where you can look at the Social Security. You can look at the Medicare thing that we had 2 weeks ago. I sat and interviewed half a dozen different people where those recordings are out there. And this one will be there as well. So, Jeannie, in our last minute or two, what do you want to say?
Yeah, so, hopefully we've just brought up just the issue of thinking about things and planning for things. And, even if you're younger than 55, it's never, never, never too early to do anything you can. Like, today's, the first day you start really ramping down and trying to do more. And even just say you're 55, should you live till 95, that's 40 years that you will benefit yourself if today you start increasing your contributions. Because, and I think we are getting to be more of we want an immediate, benefit of, I want it now. I want it and I want it now. I want to enjoy my life. I want to spend my money. That's nice. But you know what? Someday you don't want to be in a position where you just don't have enough money. So I hope it's just a, eye-opening, something clicked to say, start doing something.
And your phone number once again?
Is 908-713-6600.
And it's Jeannie Aversa of Ameriprise. My name is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my little infomercial before we break so you know how to reach me. I won't have to give you my phone number. It's on it. And if you're thinking about doing things real estate-wise, I can help you with that. I specialize in seniors, being one myself. I used to say I couldn't spell senior. Now I are one. So, it happens overnight, and I'm still out there trying to give back, and I appreciate everybody listening in. Next week at 4 o'clock, we're going to go through the monthly real estate update. We're going to talk about what's happening in Hunterdon and our sister county, which is Somerset. And it's always a very informative hour, and I hope you tune in for that as well. So as we break, here is my paid commercial, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime.
and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The crash site. The cause of this accident will be investigated.
It is not believed the plane was hit with any kind of enemy fire or that there were any casualties on the ground as a result of the downed aircraft. The single-man jets typically fly in pairs, providing close air support and aerial reconnaissance for ground troops. This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of